Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareers.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm Tani Alvarez, your host from Beryl, and today our guest is Nancy Marshall of Marshall Communications. And today we're discussing personal branding and staying relevant during COVID-19. Welcome, Nancy. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm so excited to be here with you today, Tani.
Well, I am excited to have you here and to be having this conversation with you and also to be sharing it with our listeners. For those listeners who don't know you, who don't have that joy, can you provide them with a little bit of information about yourself and about Marshall Communications?
Sure. So I have been doing public relations in Maine now since, I'm almost a little embarrassed to say, but the early 1980s. So probably a lot of the listeners weren't even born then. But the thing that's the most exciting for me is I am as excited and passionate about public relations today as I was when I first got started. And I think a lot of it is because of all the possibilities that are available to us through the internet. And so, even though I started doing PR before the commercial internet was even a thing, I've really worked hard to stay on top of technology because there's so much available to us through technology to do our jobs better. I have an agency called Marshall Communications that I started in 1991. We have 7 people on the team. Our offices are actually in Augusta, and we have a secondary office in Portland. And we have clients literally actually around the world because we have a client in Ireland now. And we also work with something called Discover New England, which is all of the New England states together marketing internationally for tourism. And our largest and longest standing client is the State of Maine Office of Tourism. So we've always been involved with tourism, hospitality, outdoor recreation, and then we do also some healthcare and education clients.
Very nice. Now, I would presume that considering kind of the breadth of clients that the PR needs are different in all those different industries because so much of it is industry specific, but then at the same time, needs from a PR standpoint, sometimes everyone has the same need. And I would presume during COVID that you have seen some similar issues, concerns, or thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, communication during COVID is more important than ever because people are living in sort of a general state of fear and anxiety. And, you know, it's been very difficult for tourism businesses, obviously, because, for a lot of COVID, we really weren't encouraging any visitation. And now it's certain states are welcome, but others are not. But we want to be sure that Maine is at the forefront when those states such as Massachusetts can come to Maine again. So it's kind of a fine line between promoting and just sort of staying top of mind. And actually that's what a lot of PR is about, is what we call top of mind awareness. So that, and that's what we're going to be talking today about, is personal branding and being the one that people think of when they need the thing that you do.
I think that was a great segue for us to get into the topic. And I'm sure most of our listeners figured that that was planned and that we'd rehearsed that, but it wasn't. So today, you're right. Yeah, we're talking about personal branding and staying relevant, but we're focusing it because I'm sure you and I could spend a day talking about staying relevant and personal branding. So we're just going to limit it kind of right now to how do we do it during COVID. We've all experienced the last 6 months living in this kind of pandemic world, and the time has evolved, you know, how we are dealing with it in March is different from how we're dealing with it at the end of August, and who knows what the future is going to bring. But Nancy, how, if at all, has COVID-19 changed how individuals create a personal brand, or, you know, and maybe this overlaps how they stay relevant in their industry?
Well, so much of our lives now is happening virtually. I just heard about a college graduation that happened recently where they actually created avatars that walked across the stage and got diplomas. And, you know, so the graduates could be home with their families watching. I think this was actually in China, and they could be home watching themselves, their own avatar, walk across the stage. So it's almost like we're now avatars, and the way we show up is not the way we used to show up, for example, at the business after hours for the chamber or the chamber breakfast or some other networking meeting where we were there in person. Now, how we show up online is more important than ever. For example, having a really great LinkedIn profile is very, very important now more than ever. And just that you are findable or searchable. And we're going to talk a little bit about search engine optimization, but you need to be sure that when people are looking for what you offer, that you show up at least on the first page of a Google search.
So that's interesting, because I would guess that there might be a handful, and I'm only going to say a handful of our listeners, who up to this point in time have staunchly felt as though staying off the internet is important to them. Their privacy is something that they value. They don't want to be findable when somebody types in their name online, and kind of this background understanding that, you know, once it's on the internet, it's there forever. The internet doesn't forget. Other than the internet, are there ways that people are able to stay, I guess, relevant or top of mind during COVID-19 that you've found that's been successful? And I guess that's the best way to put it, that is successful. Or is internet really, really the focus of what people should be doing from a PR standpoint right now?
Well, there still are traditional media outlets like the newspaper, or here we are on the radio. So, you know, and certainly television. So people are consuming media more than ever because a lot of them have spare time. They may not be working. And people are really concerned about the upcoming elections and certainly COVID. And, you know, Dr. Nirav Shah is one of our big heroes now, the head of the Maine CDC. So, yes, traditional media outlets are still relevant. But in my mind, that all leads to the online world. For example, if you are on a news story on WCSH6 News Center Maine, that's going to lead to an online result. Again, so if someone searches your name, you'll show up in that media outlet. You know, I was with my son's girlfriend last weekend, and she's trying to hire math tutors for a company she works for. And she said if she gets an application, the first thing she does is search social media and see how they show up. You know, first of all, she says if they don't have a LinkedIn profile, she doesn't really think they're a credible candidate. And then she looks to see if they've got some wacky stuff on Facebook, you know, showing themselves maybe acting in a way that would not be becoming for a teacher. And I do the same thing. If I'm hiring a candidate for a position in my agency, or if I'm going to do business, I just see how they show up on social media. So I think if you want to be in business today, I feel it's important at a minimum to have a LinkedIn profile. It's almost like you don't exist if you don't, really. I mean, I hate to say it because I know some people like to have their private lives be private, but you know, I think in business, it's important to be on LinkedIn.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez from Barrel, and today we are talking to Nancy Marshall of Marshall Communications, and we're discussing personal branding and staying relevant during COVID-19. So, Nancy, we were just talking about staying relevant and top of mind and the role the internet plays in all of that. Many of our listeners may be more in tune with traditional forms of in-person marketing or personal branding and are now transitioning more to this online personal branding space or sphere. And to me, as I've been maneuvering through this, there's a number of terms and other phrases that I don't know and understand. So I was hoping you could give kind of a foundational knowledge to our listeners about some of those terms, if that's okay.
Sure. Well, of course, we've been talking about search engine optimization, and that is the way that a term, which could be your name or a company name, shows up online. So to optimize a name or a term, you want to be sure to have a lot of content on a variety of websites, not just your own, so not just your own .com site, but also in, you know, we talked about media outlets, that gives you credibility, or even a nonprofit website, such as the Chamber of Commerce site, or a university site that carries a lot of weight also. I mean, Google is, that's a term also, and it's sort of synonymous with search. Google is a very powerful thing. And when you Google yourself, you can learn about how you would show up if someone else is searching for your name. So it's important to learn about Google search, and there's something called Google Analytics, which is very useful information about how people are moving through your website, which pages are the most popular. And so it's really important to look at the Google Analytics for your site. Wikipedia is another important term. And if you can get your name listed in Wikipedia or your business name in Wikipedia, that's going to have a lot of credibility, both with Google and with the public at large, because Wikipedia, it's kind of like an encyclopedia, but it is managed kind of by people. It's managed democratically, like everybody can edit it. Another term is click-through rate. And basically that's if you send out an email, for example, that has links in it. You know, we put out a monthly email newsletter, and I like to see when people click from an article over to our website. So that's called the click-through rate. And then there's something called PPC, which is pay-per-click. And pay-per-click refers to paid advertising. And so to put an ad that might show up on the right-hand side of a Google search, it costs nothing to put that ad there, but you actually pay for every time someone clicks through to your website. So that's why it's called PPC. And another term is time on page, and that literally refers to how long people spend on each page of your site. And obviously you want to provide a lot of relevant content so people spend more time rather than less time on each page.
Oftentimes people talk about, you know, what's important if you have a website or a web page is really, here's contact information, having one page that has the information that people might need in order to reach out to the business or the organization, or is having one web page that then can send you to a multitude of different topics, even if there's not a ton of information on those other pages? Is there value to both? Is one more valuable from a Google standpoint?
Well, one page that would be really valuable for every website to have is frequently asked questions. And those frequently asked questions would be the most common questions that customers of any business ask most often. And so having a good FAQ page is really vital. But then actually, it's funny because sometimes people will say that for Google, you should have one topic per page. But you want to be sure that you provide enough information exactly to keep people on the page. So it's a fine balance between having focused information per page versus having enough information to keep people there. We use a lot of infographics, which is a way of presenting information graphically. And I'm sure people listening have seen infographics, even if they didn't know that that's what they were called. But those are really good things to have on websites. And we have a lot on marshallpr.com. I actually have a young employee named Emma Dimmick who graduated from Thomas College last year, and she just makes the most amazing infographics. And actually, I published a book recently called Grow Your Audience, Grow Your Brand. And there's an infographic by Emma in every single chapter. So that's a really relevant and effective way to present information online.
Absolutely. I would guess that the visual nature of most online kind of searches also helps people to digest the information better. Or at least I know as a visual learner that I always appreciate a chart and a graph to accompany the data to get a better feel for it.
Right. The only downside is you want to make sure that the text on an infographic is searchable, because they call them spiders. Actually, this is another technical term. Spiders are the things that crawl through websites looking for certain keywords. And if you have your keywords embedded in a graphic, then the Google spiders can't go in there and see if those keywords are there. So if you do use infographics and if the words are embedded in that, you want to also have the search terms in searchable text where the spiders can crawl through.
Well, with that, we're going to end this segment talking about the spiders, and we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobsandme to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today our guest is Nancy Marshall of Marshall Communications, and we're discussing personal branding and staying relevant during COVID-19. Nancy, you're extremely talented at content creation, and I don't just say that to anyone, but you are out there. The content that you're creating, it is great and wonderful, and in preparation, I mean, for this interview, I did go through, you know, a good amount of that content, but can you provide some insight to our listeners as to how content creation, A, what content creation is, and then two, how it can position individuals as thought leaders within their industry or their business as thought leaders within an industry?
Tawny, I'm glad you asked this question, because actually this whole topic is the thing that has given me like so much new energy in my career, because I just love it so much. And I think I was born, I was born to do content creation. So basically, again, thinking about Google and thinking about you want to be out there online as a thought leader in your chosen profession. So I'm in public relations and personal branding. So I want to be found. I want to be the first one found if possible, because I'm competitive too. So if somebody is searching Maine public relations professional or Maine content marketing, or even, you know, nationally, I actually, an insurance company in New Jersey called me last week because they were looking for media coaching and they found my agency for that. So that was awesome. But you want to create, whether it's a radio show like this, or I have a podcast, the PR Maven podcast. And a big reason to have that podcast is that I can talk about the topics that I want to be known for. And another secret that some people might not realize is that you invite other people that have big audiences, because then you can bring them into your own audience. So,
you know, it is crazy that you mentioned that, Nancy, because this morning, as I was scrolling through Facebook, PR Maven came through my feed, through episode 106, the one that you just recently did. So it was being reposted by your interviewee on her social media site. So I get the double dose of the PR Maven through my Facebook feed.
So that was, I think, Erin O'Valley, who's the host of Maine Life. Yes, and of course, she has a big, huge audience. So, I mean, I had her on because she was a great guest and she's a good friend, but also because I want to tap into her audience. And, you know, the two most popular podcasts that I've ever done out of all 106 were actually Tim Cotton, who is with the Bangor Police Department. And he's the guy from the Bangor Police Department who has like reinvented how to use Facebook. Because everybody would say, oh yeah, on Facebook, yeah, you have to have a lot of photos and don't write a lot of text. But he writes these voluminous, wordy texts, I mean, posts on Facebook. And he's got thousands and thousands of diehard fans around the world. And actually, when I first had him on my podcast, I realized a lot of people had never heard him talk because he writes. And so he has these fans who have read his stuff, but a lot of them were so happy to actually hear how he speaks. And so then actually at the end of year one, we gave him an award for being our most popular guest. And we had a live party actually at a brewery, and I had him live and I interviewed him there. And again, that was like my second most popular podcast ever. But I also want to mention, I write for Forbes.com. And again, that's a great place to be positioned because the Forbes name carries a lot of authority. That's another term, Tawny, authority. We want to position ourselves as authorities, but also Google gives different types of websites certain scores based on their authority, like how credible and how legitimate they are. So again, with using Wikipedia as an example, that's a website that has tremendous authority because it is policed literally by its users and they make sure there's no BS or nothing there that's not true.
No, that's actually, so that's a term that I had never heard before, as is, and you mentioned this in passing, media coaching. So definitely a term of art that I wouldn't think to type into a search engine, but it's interesting to hear that people from across the country, you know, someone outside of the region itself was able to type those terms or a similar term into Google, and that the search engine was able to direct those individuals to you. And I would presume before the internet, that's not a market that you otherwise would have been advertising your services to or otherwise attempting to get the referral or the business from.
Well, you know, actually before the commercial internet, I actually needed I handled crisis situations. I worked for Sugarloaf, for example, and there was a time when the gondola derailed and some people were ejected, and it was a bona fide crisis. I mean, they had to go to the hospital, and this is kind of funny. The man who was ejected, I don't even remember his name, but he called from the hospital and he's like, I was not supposed to be skiing today. I was there with my secretary and my wife did not know I was there. So he's like, please do not tell the media my name. So that was like my first really big crisis. And then there was that little wrinkle in it.
That poor man.
Oh yeah. He was going to the hospital thinking, oh, please God, you know, I'd rather have a broken back than have my name in the newspaper.
Oh my gosh.
So, but yeah, we digress.
Well, actually, it leads me to the next question, though, which is, here we have a situation where a man's saying, I don't want my name in the newspaper, right? And we're talking about authority and making sure that, you know, as you mentioned, Forbes.com, using resources that have authority. Are there going to be times in which content creation can be a negative in personal branding as opposed to kind of a positive in getting your name out there? I know some people will say that no publicity is bad publicity, but in today's day and age, is that still the case? Is that something that people are saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, you never want your name to be in the police blotter, for example. So, yeah, I mean, there are websites for, you know, like to check people's reputation. So if you, or even your credit score. So if you have a bad score on your reputation or your credit, you may not want to show up on those sites if somebody's trying to check you out. Actually, that is a reason to create more content because sometimes people want to sort of bury the bad stuff with good stuff. So, for example, some people might make large philanthropic donations so that they get, you know, publicity for donating to the American Cancer Society to push down the article about how they cheated on their wife or they were driving drunk or whatever bad thing they might have done. So that is a technique that is sometimes employed. I can't say that that's something that I do for clients, but I have had requests from clients to do such a thing, and I've typically turned that down.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez from Verrill, and today we're talking to Nancy Marshall of Marshall Communications and also author of Grow Your Audience. Look at this. I'm going to say she's the author and I'm going to screw up the name of the book. Nancy, what's the name of the book? Grow Your Audience, Grow Your
Brand. Yeah, Grow Your Audience, Grow Your Brand. And the whole premise of my book is that the larger your audience, like we talked about Tim Cotton from the Bangor Police Department, he has a very large worldwide audience of people that follow him. So he has a very well-known personal brand. And then, of course, the person that has such a huge personal brand, she doesn't even have to use her last name, is Oprah Winfrey. You know, she just goes by Oprah. Or actually, to a certain extent, Ellen DeGeneres, but her personal brand has actually taken a hit recently with all the negative publicity that she has gotten. So this is a time when, you know, if I was advising Ellen, I would be trying to get some good publicity to kind of counteract some of that bad publicity.
And that kind of goes to what you mentioned right at the beginning of the show, which is that top of mind awareness. When you hear a person's name, are you, is the connotation that's coming into your head something that's good or bad? And I would guess if something bad happened, but you're able to throw three or four good things into the media that people can find, that in some ways that's going to bring that kind of top of mind awareness into a positive element as opposed to a negative. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, a brand is how people think and feel about either a person or, you know, like Harley motorcycles, you know, you think of that when you want to like ride free on the road. Or, you know, I talk a lot about the Sugarloaf brand, which is a very strong brand. Because I worked there for many years, and you know, the Sugarloaf brand represents kind of getting away from it all, and you know, being a hardcore skier that loves to get out in the cold weather and then have fun during après ski. So Sugarloaf is a real community of people that represent the spirit of skiing. And actually, a lot of strong brands have large brand followings or communities, and like the Harley Owners Group, which is known as the Hogs, that's a really strong brand community. And so those people are willing to like almost give their own personality to the brand. So that gives that brand more power and credibility.
That makes sense. And it partially answers the next question that I have. And we've talked about it a little bit, but is all content created equally, or is some content that we create or that an individual company creates more valuable to creation of a personal brand? So let's say that we're not talking about negative factors. We're not talking about police blotter versus charitable donation, but just generally getting out there and making sure you're seen or heard. Is there some forms or some content that really has more value than other content?
Well, I mentioned before that Google looks upon websites from universities. So those would be a .edu website. Those have greater authority than a .com website, or even a .gov website or .org. Those carry greater credibility because it's a little harder to get on those. You know, anybody can create a .com and put whatever they want on there, and it's not vetted. The feeling is that a university website has been vetted by educated people, or a .gov website is vetted by the government. So, you know, for example, I have spoken at colleges like Thomas College or UMF or Colby College. And when I speak at those, I always ask if I can provide a press release to be posted on their website, because that helps, again, with your search engine optimization.
That's super helpful to know. And I guess in the same vein, is the authority the same, or is it minimized if it's a repost? If it's content that, let's say, originally was posted on your .com, on your own website, but then it gets picked up by an .edu or a .org, is that in the .org or .edu sphere, is it less important or not as optimized, or does it have the same value?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because if you put out a press release and, for example, it gets picked up by the Associated Press, it might run in, you know, it might be on 300 newspaper sites across the country, but Google looks at it only once. Google knows that it's out there 300 times, but it doesn't carry 300 times the credibility. And there's also a thing called content farms, and they're kind of like puppy mills. They're like, they just churn out content, and, you know, they might charge to get onto their websites, but again, it doesn't do you any good to be on 500 sites with exactly the same thing. So it's much more powerful to be on a lot of different sites with unique content. So, and Google, again, likes to see you on sites other than just your own. If you own a .com, that's great to have a really good site, but then that's the reason that you might want to write for Forbes.com or even post videos on YouTube, because videos on YouTube are really powerful. YouTube is the second most used search engine, actually, next to Google. People will search on YouTube for all kinds of things, how to bake a cake, on up to how to change the oil in your car, and where to find the best dentist.
I haven't used it for a dentist, but I've used it for most other things. So I think that's a really good point. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
HR Power Hour is proud to share the following information. Strategic HR 2020 moves from the Mount Washington stage to your living room this October.
Take a virtual journey around the country and witness HR leaders aspiring to greatness in challenging times, and earn SHRM and HRCI continuing education credit.
rates are in effect at strategichrus.com.
Then on October 21st, pour yourself some morning coffee and log on to 3 days of HR exploration.
That's at strategichrus.com.
And we're back, and you are listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today our guest is Nancy Marshall of Marshall Communications, author of Grow Your Audience, Grow Your Brand, and podcast connoisseur of PR Maven, the podcast. Nancy, I have really enjoyed our conversation so far, and we're focusing on discussing personal branding and staying relevant during COVID-19. I think one of the things that's at top of mind for a lot of people, if we take the internet out of this, which I know is tough, but prior to the pandemic, so many people already had marketing plans in place for their organization or even potentially for themselves, a personal marketing plan. Are there easy ways that people can evolve those plans, or is this a time where they need to just scrap it completely and refocus their energy in the midst of COVID-19?
Well, I think you need to look at your marketing plan and make sure that everything you're doing right now is being helpful. You know, even if you're trying to sell product, think about who is your targeted audience and how you can serve them in a helpful way. I think the tone of all marketing and advertising has changed during COVID, and it's kind of like we have to be in a kinder, more compassionate world now that so many people are suffering. So I think that there are probably certain aspects of a pre-COVID plan that you could still be implementing, but I think it's almost like back to the basics. You know, you need to look at the signage that you have at your physical store and make sure that, you know, that your signage is clear as far as what your policies are. You know, certainly I go to Hannaford for grocery shopping, and, you know, they have a lot of signage about physical distancing and about not touching things that you're not going to buy, and about wearing a mask. So you definitely want to have marketing content right now that makes people feel assured that if they're going to come to your physical location, that they're going to be safe. You know, certainly if you have a mask policy, that is going to reassure a lot of people that they're going to be okay. And actually, I think we need to be over communicating right now about those kind of policies, not only with our customers, but also with employees, because I know in my company, we've been working remotely since March 15th, and we're talking about kind of going back slowly this fall, but we're just reassuring employees that we're going to provide a safe environment, and if they're not comfortable, they don't have to go. So I think that in our marketing and advertising, we really need to think about everybody's suffering in some way, whether it's going to be their health or their parents' health or children. If I had young children right now, I would be going crazy thinking about how I was going to do the school remotely. I think you might be dealing with that, Tawny. So
I am.
You know, Angus King's wife, Mary Herman, is a friend of mine. And at one point she said to me, everybody has something. And what she meant is you might look at certain people who are like rich and famous, and it might look like they've got like the life of Riley, like they've got a really easy life. But as she said, everybody is dealing with something. And I think all of us need to be really empathetic towards others, because you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know if they've got a sick child at home or a sick dog, or if they've just lost a parent or whatever. And so I do try to be empathetic as much as possible. And I think that's the appropriate tone for marketing today.
I think it's a really important point. And I think it was interesting to see some of the ads in the April timeframe where they would have little almost disclaimers on the ads saying like, this was shot pre-COVID, or this was, and it was almost like, okay, you could tell in their marketing department or their public relations department, they were sitting there saying, do we scrap this? Do we put it out there with a like disclaimer? Do we reshoot something? Do we put masks? How do we move forward? And I think focusing on that empathy is so important, because everyone is dealing with this in some way. It's affected everyone's life. I can't imagine that there is a person who this has not affected. I guess if you are a hermit who lives out in the woods and hasn't had any contact with human beings in a decade, then yeah, maybe you're still doing great and the social distancing's working fine and kind of all of those things. But even just I found in my own personal life, when I sit down and watch a video with my daughter, when I do something, there's these moments where in the front of my brain, I'm saying, wait a second, that's more than 6 feet. Back up. Where's your masks? Not realizing, honey, this is like, there's a narrative going on here. There's a storyline. We're not going to just suddenly, as a world, you know, on television, that everyone's wearing masks. I mean, may it be that way soon? Who knows? And I'm not one who's going to predict something like that. But it is interesting to see, as a consumer of content, like where my mind goes and what it's thinking about as I'm consuming content.
Yeah, and who would have thought a year ago that we would be thinking like this now? I mean, this is something none of us could have ever planned for.
No, absolutely. And I feel like one of the other things that I hear a lot about and that comes out of all of our mouths at least once in a while is, I'm already too busy. How can I take the time or make the time to really have an in-depth consideration or thought process regarding personal branding, let alone creation of content? Because I would presume that creation of content takes that much longer than just personal branding and developing a plan.
Well, I think you need to find the kind of content that comes easily and naturally. Now, Twitter, for example, is just a lot of short tweets, you know, 140 characters. So for many people, Twitter is the social media platform of choice because it's quick and easy to tweet. Or maybe you're more of a photographer and you'd like to do Instagram because, you know, it's easy for you to just snap a photo and post that. Some people actually do really like writing. And actually with my podcast, I have a service called Podreacher that takes each of my podcasts and makes them into these blog posts that are highly optimized for search engine optimization. So that's called repurposing your content. Like, you could take the transcript of this radio show and get it transcribed and then break it into tweets, or you could break it into Instagram posts or infographics. So there's a term called cornerstone content, which would be a big piece of content like this radio program, and then cobblestone content, which is little chunks of content that you're breaking off and repurposing. So I know it sounds like a burden to do every single social media platform available, but some are more forgiving than others. Like LinkedIn, you don't have to respond immediately. It's a little more forgiving, whereas, you know, if somebody texts you, they expect an immediate response.
I've never heard the cornerstone, cobblestone. So that's new. Those are new terminology, things that I'm adding to my dictionary. But I'll be honest and tell you that it also just made me think of cold stone, and now I just want ice cream. So top of mind right now is me getting some ice cream after we finish talking.
That sounds good to me too, actually. And since I'm working at home these days, like, that Ben and Jerry's is too close at hand, I think.
Agreed. Absolutely agree. You mentioned earlier that when you receive an application or when you're looking to hire someone, you'll do a quick online kind of search or Google of that person. And I think a lot of HR professionals also will do a quick search of an applicant during the hiring process. In your mind, what are some things that people, let's put yourself on the other side of this equation, What are some things that people should stay away from when they're attempting to market or create an online personal brand? Is there some things that's, I'll say TMI, too much information to be putting online, or does it go back to that saying, any PR is a good PR?
Well, no, I mean, you want to be sure that any images of yourself or any words or descriptions that they are consistent with the way that you want to represent yourself. I mean, we recently saw some pretty horrible news from Jerry Falwell, and you know, there are some very unbecoming photos of him at a Halloween party, and then even more like unbecoming stories about his wife and the pool boy. So, and sometimes we are at parties where there are crazy things that happen that get posted online, but just make sure that if you don't want the world to see that those photos and images are marked as private or for just your closest friends and family. I know that if anybody wants to post anything on my Facebook profile, I need to authorize it. And you can go into your Facebook settings and make it that if somebody wants to post something on your timeline, that you have to approve it or you just can hide it.
Some very good advice for all of us. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Tani Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today our guest is Nancy Marshall of Marshall Communications. And we've been spending this episode discussing personal branding and staying relevant during COVID-19. Nancy, I'd like to discuss a way that you have been staying relevant and increasing your personal brand, and specifically that surrounding your book, Grow Your Audience, Grow Your Brand. What led you to make the decision to write a book?
Well, actually, this is my second book. I wrote my first book in 2015, and it was called PR Works. And both books, PR Works and Grow Your Audience, Grow Your Brand, were self-published. I published them through Amazon.com. So it's something that anyone can do once you put the content for the book together and then you post it through Amazon.com. So that's called self-publishing. And the reason that I did it is because I want to be thought of as an authority in the areas of public relations and personal branding. And I wanted to create a nice big piece of what I call cornerstone content. And then I actually talked about it on my podcast and I wrote about it in Forbes.com. And we did press releases about it to all of the newspapers around the state and like my college alumni publication at Colby College. And so publishing a book is a good way to get your name out there and be thought of in the light that you would like to be thought of. So that's why I did self-publish it. I don't want to be necessarily on the New York Times bestseller list, but when I am talking with a prospective client, you know, if I could give them a copy of a book that they can read, they can really understand my point of view. And I have a lot of what I call personal vignettes in there, which are stories about my career and things that have happened. Some of them are kind of funny and some of them are just interesting, like some of my trips to New York City to do media visits with the big media outlets in New York. I wrote about that. So yeah, it's a great way just to share your thought leadership and why someone might want to work with you.
I think one of the great parts about this concept or idea and what you've done is that you're taking complete ownership of it. You're finding something that you're comfortable with, and you're taking ownership of creation of becoming a thought leader in that field or within that very specific area of the universe. Usually I'd say of the law, because that's where my mind is always going. But of the universe, whether or not you want to talk about calico kittens and all the different ways in which a calico kitten can live, survive, all of those things, or if it's something more branding or human resources related or dealing with FMLA leave, whatever it is that you have that experience that it helps you become the thought leader in that area. So it's been super enjoyable to talk to you, Nancy. And I tell you what, this is, you know, I hate to do superlatives, but I'd say that this is the interview in which I've learned the most number of new words, whether it's cornerstone, cobblestone, PPC, SEO, what's the other one that you had for me earlier? Media coaching.
Click-throughs.
Yes. So thank you so much for this education on personal branding and staying relevant. And I think so much of what you've shared with us today, while extremely relevant during COVID-19, even moving forward and into the future, are things that all of us can take into account as they are working and considering personal branding and staying relevant.
Well, thanks for having me, Tawny. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope we can do it again sometime. And maybe you'll come on the PR Maven podcast sometime. We can talk there.
I would love that. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, WLOBradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from Verrill. None of us like to think the worst case scenarios, but it is important for an employer to do a self-assessment to determine the potential for workplace violence in each physical part of their location or physical plants. To minimize possible chances of workplace violence, there are multiple steps that you can take. First, assess physical risk factors in the building or on the grounds. Are there isolated locations, areas with poor lighting or unsecured areas? If so, are there steps your organization can take to minimize those threats? Next, consider your work schedule and the relationship to these risks. Do you have employees who are working late hours in isolated areas? Does this increase risk of assault? Consider added security that you may be able to provide. Contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.